Do you want to tell us about yourself to begin?
Certainly. My name is Tim Wisdom. I live in East Bolton now. I was born in England, though, so for the whole hunting and fishing subject, I guess we don't hunt and fish the same way in England. So I didn't, like a lot of my friends, learn from my father, my grandfather, how to hunt and fish. I mean, hunting in England is very different. People hunt on horseback. It's often very wealthy families that are going after foxes with a herd of hounds, and it's very, very different hunting in England. So I had to sort of learn on the spot, but we moved to Knowlton in 1986, and I didn't get into hunting and fishing until actually quite later in life. Most people sort of grow up doing it, and while I did catch a couple of fish as a kid, it was really actually in my 20s that I got into it, early 20s. I'm 38 now, so it's been about 10, maybe 12 years that I've been doing this.
So why exactly do you hunt and fish? Is it just for fun, or do you feed your family?
Good question. No, I mean, I think I started off, and I have to be completely honest, I was against hunting, like a lot of people that don't understand it. I had this misconception. You know, you see a deer in the field and you think it's such a beautiful animal. How could anyone hurt that? And of course, while eating, you know, factory farm meat myself, I'm certainly not vegan. I had this sort of misconception, which a lot of people have, that hunting was kind of barbaric and horrible, and I didn't like it. And I actually started fishing before I started hunting. I got into fishing about 12 years ago. My friend has a cottage on from Magog, and growing up, we would always hang out there and on Sargent's Bay in Austin, Quebec. And so it wasn't too far from where I grew up in Knowlton. We would go to the cottage and hang out, and I slowly started getting into fishing just because I enjoy it. It was something really fun, and it was actually a sport I was good at. I was never really great at the team sports, was never great at football or hockey or anything, but I finally found a sport not only that I enjoyed, but I really excelled in, and I really got into it. When you start fishing, you'll see that, you know, a lot of the magazines and stuff, it's hunting and fishing, so I started reading more about hunting and decided to really get into that too. As I learned more that most hunters are actually conservationists and not barbarians, that because of hunting, deer numbers have actually gone up in North America from around 30,000 at the turn of the 20th century. In 1900, it has gone way up to about 30 million animals today. And the reason for that is because of the management, is because of hunting clubs, is because we only take one or two a year, and we've sort of decided that there's going to be a couple of weeks in November where we allow ourselves to do this to feed our families, that it's managed intelligently. I realized that these people weren't just some, you know, bloodthirsty barbarians, you know, and that going out into the woods is actually something really positive for nature. And what happened, I mean, to explain why, I mean, we think, how can all these hunters take deer? When the colonists first got here 500 years ago, there was a lot of predators. There was packs of wolves running around Knowlton. There was bears. There was the eastern cougar all over the place, and we had a lot of predation. And that's what kept the ecosystem in balance. And again, without judgment, we can't, you know, as barbaric as it seems to kill all the wolves and kill all the cougars and kill a lot of the bear, 500 years ago, if you only had two cows, you know, I think we have to understand why they sort of chose to do that. They took out all the predators, or most of the predators. There's only 8,000 wolves left in Quebec today. Whereas if you look at the old range of the grizzly bear, the old range of the wolf, and the old numbers of how many black bear there was a lot of predators around. So when we came, unfortunately, the predators were killed. Or fortunately for my son, who likes to play at the Lions Park, there's no wolves running around. And we've replaced that. Hunters come in, and we make sure the ecosystem, because you have to take out some of the animals. There's always been a predator, and there's always been a prey. So we can actually permit ourselves to now take over that role and keep the ecosystem in balance.
You actually answered my next question of why do you believe hunting is important for the environment?
No, absolutely. I think that's it. We're taking mature animals most of the time. It's very controlled. And if you think, I mean, I think so many anti-hunters just don't know. You know, they'll sit there eating a club sandwich made with chicken from a factory farm, with bacon from a factory farm, and they'll see a hunter drive by with a deer in the pickup truck, or they'll see someone parked at the side of the road with an orange vest walking into the woods. And while eating their hamburger with bacon on it, they're going to judge us. And when we think about it, if you really sit down and sort of analyze that, we have to keep that ecosystem in check, or else the deer are going to breed to a point that one tough winter can wipe them all out by starvation. So it has to be controlled. And at least that deer saw the sun, you know, it saw a blade of grass, it felt the wind. It really is important. And I think if you do it ethically, it's actually a better way, you know, to get. Obviously, everyone can't all live from hunting, which is good. You know, everyone can't hunt. There isn't enough deer to feed everybody. But if we can take some meat that's free range, that's organic, that lived a happy life, I see absolutely no problem with it. And I think it's actually better to do it that way than to support factory farming and support these animals that live you know, sometimes, not always, but sometimes in questionable conditions, cramped environments, and sometimes without even daylight, you know, and they get, you know, cattle prodded to the slaughterhouse, whereas when I harvested in October, it did have an arrow go through it, but it was relatively quick, and same thing with the buck I harvested on Monday, which was my second tag. And there's always a moment as a hunter where you have to pay respect to that animal, too. This is not some horrible, bloodthirsty sport. And some of the moments I spent, I didn't see a deer all day. I was sitting in a tree and had an owl come and land on a branch in front of me. And you know, you're just sitting there with a beautiful barred owl staring at you. We really respect nature a lot more than most people think. And it's the money that we spend on our tags that goes into conservation.
So when exactly is the hunting season? And why is it important to only hunt during those specific dates?
Very good question, and it's very, very controlled, and that's important to understand. Across North America, here in Quebec, we control it. It depends as well on what's going on in that zone, and this is done with the government, with biologists who are hired to do this, who do aerial surveys, who look at the number of animals harvested last year, who talk with a lot of different people. And it's really interesting when you get into who's involved in hunting and why would they, you know, put out 4,000 doe tags in Zone 5 West. Why would they choose that? You know, the car insurance lobby, interestingly enough, has something to say here because they're paying out to fix all these cars. So, of course, the car lobby wants us to take more deer. Farmers want us to take more deer. Some people on the far left don't want us to take any deer and feel we shouldn't do it. So the government has to listen to all of these people and of hunters who, of course, want sane management. But even within the hunting community, there's definitely some, you know, that we don't always all see eye to eye. So the government looks at the map, will listen to all of these people who have something to say, and will try and decide on a number by zone. And from there, they set different dates. So I can't give you the exact date because it varies. They've divided the Quebec into 30-something zones. And depending where you are in Quebec, you have to look at that website. Have to make sure, and they recently also just switched it all around too. They've redo it every year. So as a hunter or as someone who's interested in hunting, the most important thing I would suggest is to put date Quebec hunting into the internet. Go and make sure where you live, where you're planning on hunting. Make sure of your dates. Doe season is now in October. It used to be in September. They recently moved it. So I had 2.5 weeks in October where I could hunt with a bow or crossbow. After that, it was a muzzleloader season where you're using a musket, so a whole different sport. And the season that most people hunt is rifle season, which opened here, I believe, on Saturday. And we'll have now 2 weeks and plus a weekend, I think, to get that done with a rifle.
Is it the same for fishing? There's only a certain set time where you can go fishing?
Absolutely, yeah, and very important for someone who's interested in getting into fishing. The first step before you even buy a license would be to check out the law, figure it out, because that too is very, very complex. It's divided, again, by zone. It's divided, again, by species. The beauty of doing hunting and fishing is there's always something to keep us busy, and it really changes. What I'm doing on a given weekend really depends on what's open, what's going on with the sturgeon fishery, what's going on with muskie. Is lake trout open on Lake Memphremagog? Did walleye just close on Lake Brome? You really have to know the dates and follow the seasons, and it really keeps us busy. Ice fishing will reopen on December 20th for most of us, so we're all looking forward to that. And there's that beautiful season on Lake Memphremagog where the lake hasn't frozen yet, and the real diehard fishermen will push our boat off the end of Vale Perkins or Knowlton's Landing. And we'll go and fish in late December in a boat before the ice gets there. So that's exciting. And we can ice fish right until March 31st. And then everything closes up again because most species spawn in the spring. Everything closes down in early April for our zone here, Zone 5 and Zone 6. And then we'll reopen after the fish have spawned. We've left them alone. And slowly the species will open over the course of 3 months. There's some species that most of the trout open in April, followed by walleye and pike in May. And then bass, sturgeon, muskie, all of the fun stuff opens up later in June. So very important because you don't want to get a fine. You don't want to have your equipment seized or your boat taken away or your pickup truck taken away. You know, 99% of hunters and fishermen, we really hate poachers. You know, and that's another big misconception of the public is that people are poaching or not respecting the rules. And most guys I know do. I manage the Eastern Townships Hunting and Fishing Club. So if anyone's looking to find out some information, I would really invite you on Facebook to join my group, which has nearly 3,000 members. It's the biggest English language hunting and fishing club in Quebec, and it's free to join. You join up on Facebook and come and ask questions. Ask guys, too, for advice, or if you're looking to buy a fishing rod or sell something, you can absolutely do that on the crew. And that's a really fun way to learn, you know, for someone who's just getting into it. So that's the Eastern Townships Hunting and Fishing Club on Facebook. And I invite anyone listening to join, even if you don't know what you're doing yet, come and join and ask some questions.
Thank you for sharing that. So what is a valuable lesson that hunting or fishing has taught you?
Boy, I think, first of all, I work in mental health, so I think hunting and fishing for me is really something that keeps me sane. It can be tough, talking about suicide, depression, 35, 40 hours a week. It can be tough for a caseworker. It can be tough. I'm director general now, so it can be tough for my team, and what keeps me sane is hunting and fishing. So I think that's something I really want to share, too. It's important, and these passions can really keep us going, especially during the pandemic. It's been tough working from home, and sometimes, leaving it at the office is one thing on Friday. But if you've been talking about suicide in your home with somebody, you're talking about depression or schizophrenia, someone's in psychosis, and we've been trying to offer meetings with Zoom or Messenger, from my home, if I can grab my fishing rod at the end of the day, it can really keep me going. But I think it's taught me patience too, especially hunting. Boy, I mean, it's tough, especially, as I said, getting into it from someone who didn't grow up doing this and has a heck of a lot to learn. It took me a few years before really understanding everything. I mean, a deer has a nose that's stronger than a greyhound. Learning about smell and how to hunt with the wind and how to do it properly. Spending 2 weeks in a tree and not seeing a single deer go by, So I think it teaches you to be humble. It teaches you patience. A good way to make friends, too. A lot of my friends that I have now, I met because we hunt and fish, and it wasn't the other way around. I have great friends across Quebec who joined the fishing group who said, hey, come and meet up with me. We can fish sturgeon off Montreal and catch these huge six-foot-long sturgeon and release them back into the water. I have friends up north, and that's really fun, too. I mean, I think fishing allowed me to explore northern Quebec. And instead of taking a trip to Cuba or something, I've started going up north and really exploring how vast this province is. It's really something else. Hunting and fishing, too, have definitely led me to appreciate my province more. And just to see how big, I mean, if you look at that map of Quebec, it just keeps going. I mean, we drive 12 hours straight north up to Chibougamau or up to the Reservoir Gouin, and you're not even a fifth of the way up the province. I mean, it's just enormous, So I think it's taught me a lot about where I live. And it just made a lot of friends and a lot of good memories. Something that's really fun to share with my son, too, is almost 5 years old, and he's loving it. I mean, he came with me on the St. Lawrence. And we go out. I mean, he just has a blast. And you're anchored there with the beautiful skyline of Montreal as a backdrop. But catching these giant sturgeon and giant muskie. I caught my first 50-inch muskie last summer. It just closed on October 30th. So I was catching big 5-foot-long sturgeon up until last week. And I brought my son out, and he's just having a blast. You have the big oil tankers and big shipping boats going by as it connects the Great Lakes to the ocean. So these huge boats, bigger than Titanic, are going by. But you're in the middle of nature catching these giant fish with the birds going by too. The city skyline. So it's just so cool to share that with him. And he caught some big pike too this last winter. Ice fishing, so it's nice moments as a family.
Those are some amazing sentiments. Do you have any other myths or realities about hunting and fishing you would like to share?
Well, I think the big one was this whole barbaric blood sport thing. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen. And same thing with poaching. I think it does happen. People sometimes don't respect the rules. And sometimes people really don't respect the rules. I mean, especially as an admin of the group, sometimes I get messages. This person is trying to sell deer, or this neighbor has 10 deer in his freezer already. But those are very rare instances. And at that point, we have game wardens. They go in, they take care of it. So no, people should just try and understand, try and listen, and should really try it. I think it is so much better to be doing this. We're not bloodthirsty cavemen out here to kill. While that is, a part of it, and it certainly is a rush when you do harvest a big deer, it's so much more than that, and a lot of planning went into that. I mean, people think we're kind of cheating and going up in a tree and hurting these animals. Mm-hmm. And it's really not the case. I mean, with deer hunting, I start, as soon as the winter starts to end, I'll go in and set up my salt, and we work all year to get these animals. So it's a lot of work goes into it, a lot of money goes into it, and it really is a nice sport, I think, that people shouldn't judge the way they do. At least vegans put their money where their mouth is and don't eat factory-farmed meat. But so many anti-hunting people are doing this while stuffing their face with factory-farmed meat, and it's just so wrong to me to think that way. I mean, if that is your opinion, then at least start by putting your money where your mouth is and being vegan. And at that point, I really respect their opinion. And if they believe we shouldn't harm any sentient beings, you know, I can respect that a lot more than someone who's a hypocrite and will judge what I do while going to McDonald's and eating meat from a food lot. So I think that was the biggest and most important myth or reality I wanted to share. The reality is, it's great. Get your kid a fishing rod. It's a heck of a lot better than an Xbox or PlayStation 5.
No, I agree with that. And you are a wealth of knowledge in this subject, so I really appreciate that.
No, it's my pleasure. So again, I'll just give the Facebook group again. It is the Eastern Townships group, but we take people from across Canada, and we have some people that joined up from England. I mean, my mother lives in England now most of the year, so that's something I started doing. I actually brought a collapsible fishing rod and did some fishing in England, too. I fished in Cuba. I fished in Florida. Mm-hmm. I fished in Vermont, too, and that's the other thing I wanted to share, is we have all of Lake Champlain, so it's really simple. The Americans are so welcoming. I mean, obviously, we can't do it right now because of COVID. But once that borders reopen, check it out. You can get a Vermont license online and go down and explore Lake Champlain. It is the sixth Great Lake. It's huge, and it's a lot of opportunity, especially living in the Eastern Townships, to get into both of these sports. So go ahead, join the group Eastern Townships Hunting and Fishing Club and send me a private message. I'm the founder and the admin. So go ahead, send me a message if you have any questions. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun and a great way to stay in shape. Too many sunrises, people just sleep through it, but we see a lot of them out on the water.
Wow, that's very nice. That's all the questions I had about hunting, and I really thank you for sharing all your knowledge. That was very good.
No problem. My pleasure.